2 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to start reading there in verse 5. Now, we need to be praying for Brandon and Grace. Could you imagine a little tiny Grace Evola running around the church? Wow. And she deserves a little Grace Evola in her house. So we'll be praying for a girl for her. All right. Now, we're excited for you. I think that's great. 2 Kings chapter 3, starting there in verse 5. It says, "But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel." And this is Jehoram, who's now the king. And verse 6, and King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered and said, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. So they picked up also the army of Edom along the way. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elijah the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. And Elijah said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Again, we could preach a sermon about music right there. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. And for thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. I ask your blessing upon the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd work. May this strengthen us and draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that you work even in spite of me. Lord, please fill me with your spirit. I love you, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I remember the first time that I did prepare this message, I wasn't looking to develop a sermon at the time. It was 1994. I'd just been in Korea for a little bit, and I just finished my morning devotion. And part of my morning devotion at the time was the morning and evening, Charles Spurgeon's morning and evening devotions. And he had just the one verse 16, as a thought. And my mind started running with the thought that he had there. I thought it was a great thought. And about the importance of preparation, and preparation being based in faith. So what we see is taking place here is you have the three armies here. It starts off the king of Israel. Ahab dies. His son takes over. Moab decides this is the time now to act against Israel. Moab, an incredibly strong army at this time. And so Israel, the king of Israel realized he cannot defeat Moab. So he goes to Jehoshaphat, the southern kingdom, and says, "Listen, I need your help." He goes, "It's a common enemy. Let's fight him together." Jehoshaphat agrees and says, "I'll join you." As they travel through Edom, the king of Edom also has a common enemy in Moab, so he joins as well. So you have three armies trying to get ready to battle against Moab. However, during their travels, they run into a brand new problem. There's a drought taking place. There is no water, and they run out of water. So now their biggest threat isn't the army of Moab. It's literally dying of dehydration. They don't know what they're going to do. And finally, somebody speaks up and says, "Jehoshaphat, we need a prophet of the Lord." And it's Jehoshaphat who says, "Listen, Elisha is here. This is the guy who took over for Elijah. His ministry has just begun." If you get back into 2 Kings chapter 2, that's when you see Elijah is taken out of the picture, and Elisha is taken his place. And so Jehoshaphat is aware of that. He lets him know. And so they go to see the prophet. They head to see the prophet. And of course, he's not real thrilled to see the king of Israel in his presence, especially knowing how Elijah's relationship was with Ahab and Jezebel. And so anyhow, he says, not the king of Israel, "Why don't you just return, girl, those prophets of your mother and your father? Why don't you just go back to Baal? Let's have them help you right now." And of course, he pleads with him, "No, we're all going to die. We've got three armies here." And Elijah lets him know, "If it was not for the presence of the king of Judah, I would not see thee. I'd have nothing to do with you right now." But the king of Judah was there, so he seeks wisdom from God. And here's what the Lord told him to do. He said, "You head back to your armies, and the only thing you have to do one thing. to solve all your problems, and that is dig ditches. That's what it says. Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. That's the only instruction given. The rest is what's going to happen as a result of digging those ditches. That's what they were to do. You head out there and you dig ditches. He let them know you're not going to see wind or rain, by the way, either. You're not going to have a cloud in the sky, basically, is what he's telling them. But this will solve your problem. And so the three kings head back. They get back to their armies. They're stuck in the valley. And here's the instruction that heads out. Get your shovels out. Everybody start digging ditches. That's the instruction. We went and talked to the preacher, and he said to dig some ditches. Could you imagine? You haven't had anything to drink for who knows how long. Maybe it's going on 48 hours now without water. And now, in the heat of the day, the instruction is to get your shovel out and dig ditches. And there's an army that can come into the valley at any moment that's incredibly strong, ready to destroy you. And here's the wisdom. Dig some ditches. Dig some ditches. And so, as we read on, they do just that. They get off, they get their shovels out, and they start digging ditches. So here's the first question for you as we head into this. If you were there right now, just put yourself there. Try and sense the heat, the dust on the ground, the no water, the fear of the army that's coming. Wonder if you're just going to die of dehydration right now. And you have to dig a ditch. Because they went and saw the preacher, and that's the instruction that was given. So if that's you, and you're digging your ditch, everybody else is digging your ditch, so I have no doubt you're going to start to dig your ditch. But the question would be, how deep would your ditch be? How much effort would you actually put into this? Would it just be going through the motions? This is ridiculous. I am saving my energy. I might need my sword at any second. I might have to pick up a bow and arrow and use it. I'm not going to use what little strength I have on digging a ditch. Would you have went to man's wisdom instead of the wisdom that was given by God? So how deep would your ditch be? As we didn't read on, but sure enough, they obey God's commands and they dig ditches. The whole time they dug ditches, they did not see wind or rain. There was no cloud in the sky. See, that might strengthen you. Had you saw a cloud in the sky, maybe that would have helped you. Man, it's going to rain. Dig a ditch. This is going to help us. But there was no cloud given. Little did they know, God never gave the wisdom why he was not going to supply a cloud. The Lord had wisdom. Had he sent clouds, they wouldn't have defeated Moab. They wouldn't have defeated him. And so miraculously, after they dug the ditches, by the way of Edom, the Lord fills all those ditches with water. They're filled with water. Guess what happens after that? Of course, now their strength is revived. They're no longer dehydrated. But across the mountaintop, once those ditches are filled with water, here comes the army of Moab. They realize they got three armies sitting down there. At first, they're pretty excited. But they look down there and they say, wait, what do we see down there? And it had an appearance almost of blood to them. And so they had no doubt had a mini conference. And they said, you know what? There hasn't been any wind or rain. That can't be water. You know what they concluded? It was the blood of the armies. They concluded that the armies turned against each other. So the Bible tells us, if we would have read on, that when Moab went down into the valley, they went down ready to take the spoil, not ready for battle. So guess what happened when they got down there? Those three armies were ready for battle. And they pounced them. They destroyed the army of Moab. I think 700 got away. I can't remember if he got away. I know the king of Moab tried to get 700 men out. I can't remember if he did or not. But anyhow, that took place. But they won. But keep in mind, if they don't dig those ditches, they die in that valley. They would have never have made it out of that valley had they not dug those ditches. You see, the ditches represent your preparation for God to be able to use you by faith. The Lord never gave, the Lord doesn't do that anyhow. He still doesn't to this day. He never gave the wisdom out why he instructed them to dig the ditches. He did let them know this will solve your problem. But he didn't let them know how it was going to solve the problem. He never let them know that when the king of Moab sees it, he's going to think it's blood. You're going to easily defeat him. He never told them, after you dig the ditches, miraculously, by the way of Edom, I'm going to fill all those ditches with water. He never said any of that. He just let them know, dig the ditches. You're not going to see wind or rain. That's the other thing. Don't get discouraged when you're doing this when you don't see wind or rain. Because more than likely, he knew how they were going to think. That the Lord's going to send a storm and we're going to get water. But he let them know, listen, you're not going. Don't stop though. You're not going to see wind or rain. There's many times when the instruction is given when you're not seeing a cloud in the sky. You still dig your ditch. Digging your ditch is the preparation time. Digging your ditch is putting yourself in a place where God can use you. Digging your ditch is putting yourself in a place where you have God's blessing, when you have His favor. Digging the ditch always comes before the blessing. See, too often we want the blessing before we dig our ditch. We tell God, if you'll bless, I'll dig the ditch. But it doesn't work that way. You dig the ditch, and then God blesses. You have to dig your ditch. Here's a couple of ditches that we need to dig, and I'll give a little bit of help on those, and then we're going to go head over to the gym for our fall harvest party. So what ditches do we need to dig? I'm going to give some basics of help that are foundational in your Christian life for help. And these are ditches that you got to dig. These are things that you have to stay faithful to. Again, when my stepdad was a plumber, and he never taught me a lot of the plumbing. Very little of it did he actually teach me. He would bring me with him only on certain jobs. And the times he brought me was when he had to dig. Because I was going to be the one digging. That would be it. So really, I hated going with him. I knew when he said I needed to go with him what I was going to be doing. I simply had to dig into the ground. And that was it. And I couldn't stand it. When you're digging a ditch, there's no fun. You're going to get blisters all over your hands. There's just zero joy in digging a ditch. And many times with the things with our preparation of the Lord, there's times when it is a discipline that has to take place so that you stay with it. But here are some ditches that we need to dig. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more. I think it's essential in your Christian life and foundational to maintain an attitude of faithfulness to church. It's here, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We see in Ephesians chapter 4 where it lays out in just an amazing fashion the importance of being part of a local church and being involved. It is for the perfecting of the saints. It's something that you need in your life. There has to be an element in your life, or there has to be a part of your life where you say, listen, I'm going to be faithful to that. You got to dig that ditch. That is helping putting yourself in a place where God can bless, where God can prepare you. You're not going to have His blessing before that takes place. You have to determine that you're going to be faithful to it. Your growth will take place. That growth is predicated upon of your faith growing upon the hearing of the Word of God. Listen, that takes place right here. And there's times you got to dig that ditch. That will be attacked in your life. If the devil knows that's a weak area, boy, he's going to hit that. Determine that you're going to be faithful to church. I believe that's a ditch that you got to dig. And then, of course, there's your devotion time, that time of prayer and Bible, being willing to work at that, being willing to take more than just, 2 minutes, just willing to take more than just 3 minutes with a devotion time, but actually willing to dig your ditch at it. To have a genuine devotion time with God, which means you got to get up. By the way, and I believe this completely. I remember that coming to pass in my life back when I had to work 5 a.m., the 5 a.m. to 1 in the Air Force for, I don't know, about a year or so. And thinking, okay, what time would I have to get up to do my devotion? At first I thought, well, I think I should do it at 1 when I get home. I think I'll do it then. But then I realized that's just not going to work. I can't do that. But I believe, listen, if you'll honor God with that, you'll have all the strength you're going to need that day. He'll bless that, he'll honor. That's part of the preparation. That's digging the ditch. He'll fill it with water. Stay faithful to that time of Bible. Stay faithful to that time of prayer. Don't just make it a glossing over. And by the way, when I had read that devotion, that was also very convicting in my devotional life. I still remember that when I read that, because I was so mad at myself. When I read that thought that Spurgeon had in that devotion, I'm like, I have read that so many times. I think the previous year was when I was going through the Bible every 3 months. I went through the Bible every 3 months. And I read that in the devotional. I'm like, how did I miss that? And then I was mad because I realized something's wrong with my devotions. You should have never have missed what took place in 2 Kings chapter 3 like I did. Make sure you're just not glossing over that devotion time. Make sure you're grabbing what you have. So put things in place. At times if I'm glossing over it, I have the notebook sitting on my desk right now. I'll get it out and I'll start writing down for my devotion. Writing down thoughts that I need to think about for that day. You have to dig your ditch at it. Without the faithfulness to the church, without that faithfulness to the prayer and Bible time, you're not digging any ditch. If the ditch isn't dug, there's no water. You're easily opening up a door for the enemy to defeat you. Piece of cake. He's just waiting to come over the mountain while you're stuck in the valley dehydrating Because you never dug your ditch. We know from the book of Psalms that it is what helps us to prosper. We think of Psalm chapter 1 and that the great truth of that godly man. We should read it. We should study it. We should memorize it. I won't get into all those verses for time's sake here. But I think, let me cover one more ditch. That's it. Then I'll get into some help in digging our ditch and cover those quickly. I want to try and be done here in about 5 minutes. It might be an hour, but I'm going for 5 minutes. We also have to dig the ditch, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, those popular verses 14 through 17 of separation, which isn't popular in our day to day, is it? We have the philosophy that we have to be more like the world to win the world. That is so backwards and outward. Completely wrong. We have churches more and more and more looking like the world and changing their name. We're the bridge church. We're the cool one. No, church is for the assembly of God's people. God is the center of it. We go out and evangelize. Don't get me wrong. I want visitors to come in and come to know Christ, yes. But I am not changing the dynamic of what a church service should look like. Because we don't want to be separated from the world. Because we don't want the reproach that comes with following Christ. And I assure you, that is one of the biggest motivators for Christians in churches trying to adapt like the world. Because now, for the first time in our nation's history, the persecuted ones is the church, and they don't like it. Let's try and make ourselves look a little bit more respectable to the world. And that goes directly against the doctrine of separation. There should be a difference in your life. There should be different standards. We should look like a pilgrim in this world. And that's a ditch you got to dig. And as you put these things in place, a faithfulness to church, the right devotional time, the separation, you're preparing for God to give you what you need. Now, some helps to dig your ditches. We'll take these right out of the text. One, take the counsel of the man of God. Had the kings decided to ignore what Elijah had said, they die. It's over with. Their kingdoms are over with, for that matter. It's done. So when Elijah spoke, they took the counsel of the man of God. We see that even the importance in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 17. Even when it comes to the pastor in the local church of knowing, listen, those are the ones that are looking out for your souls. There's no other motivation when you come to me. I'm not thinking of a paycheck that I'm going to get at the end of the day. Take the counsel of the man of God. Don't blow that off. Number two, don't look at circumstances. Don't look at circumstances. And the Lord warned him about that by saying, you're not going to see wind or rain. When you're digging, don't think that this is how God's going to fill your ditch. See, that's what happens. You hear the counsel and you take it. But you have in your own mind how this thing's going to work out. And when you don't see that happen, you stop digging. You don't base your obedience upon circumstances. You base your obedience because it's right. God has his own way of filling your ditch. You simply dig the ditch. You stay faithful to it and faithful to it and faithful to it and faithful to it. You dig the ditch. That's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is all about. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. You trust in God. You take the counsel of the man of God. You don't look at circumstances. And lastly, what you do is you keep on digging. You stay faithful. You stay faithful to it. You stay faithful until God fills it with water. That's what you do. You stay faithful. You don't quit. You don't quit. You stay faithful. You stay faithful until God's blessing comes. And then when it comes, it refreshes you. It allows you to face the enemy. All kinds of things we can draw from there. But you got to stay faithful. You got to keep on digging. You got to keep on digging. Even when you got blisters, even when you don't feel like it, you keep on digging your ditch.